Way of the Warrior, your MMA show.
10 seconds.
He rolls into it.
Wow, he might get it. Take it.
Way of the Warrior.
One of his legs could fight at welterweight, I'm sure.
Probably.
Roll mount, here's some ground, and pound by O'Gara.
I think the first 2 minutes were everything we thought it was going to be, and then after that, it was the surprise of the night.
If it happens in MMA, you hear about it here. Your MMA show, Way of the Warrior.
It is Way of the Warrior, Eric Hulkern, along with Ken Evans, covering everything in the world of mixed martial arts. And as is true with apparently every week in 2016, 8 of the 11 title holders decided they didn't want to hold the belt anymore. So here we are.
Is that what our number is at this point?
Yes, that is the number.
8 of 11 title defenses have not successfully gone the champion's way this year.
The only three are Jin Jerchek,
okay,
DJ, and okay, Cormier.
Who's DJ?
Demetrius Johnson.
Demetrius Mighty Mouse.
Yes, yes, Mighty Mouse.
I thought there was a dude named DJ. Like, well, who's that guy?
You mean not the cast member from Full House?
So No, not. No, so Demetrius Johnson, and who else? I'm sorry.
Sorry, Jin Jerchek, Demetrius Johnson, Mighty Mouse, or DJ, depending on what you want to call him, and Daniel Cormier.
Which is interesting because I think you could argue, and again, I'm not mad at them, and I don't disrespect them, but I think you could argue that two of those champions are the least marketable champions in the UFC at this point.
Yeah,
Which Jin Jerchek and Mighty Mouse.
Sure.
They're amazing fighters, but they're probably, out of all the champions that we started the year with, probably could argue they were the least marketable.
I won't argue with you on that point about the marketability. I will say that I found the Gedalia-Jin Jerchek fight one of my favorite title fights of the year. Where she's getting her butt kicked for two rounds. Like, that was fun. Now I'm going to beat you to death and take my belt back. Have a great day.
Three straight rounds. So, yeah, I mean, not that they're not great fighters, but it is a very interesting dynamic as you watch the UFC kind of evolve into this IMG WME entity. And this was the first weigh-in and setup and things like that where we didn't see Lorenzo Fertitta because he's gone.
Yep.
He's gone. Dana's still there. The front face is still there. But some of those guys that were kind of real close to that situation are gone. So we've got a new champion in Tyron Woodley, which, if you want to talk about marketability, I love this dude.
So do I. And what I love, and this is what we talked about last week with him, is I love this. Now we're opening this debate, like, should some of these guys that are right on the precipice take a fair amount of time off if they can afford it? I mean, he took 18 months off, and everyone's like, ring rust. But meanwhile, he's developing into this fighter that he feels he needs to beat Robbie Lawler, and sits out after Hendricks gets hurt to wait for the title shot, which paid dividends. And so, you know, there is some, not to take away from the specialness of the night, but it opens up some discussion about resting and maybe not being as busy as you need to be. And maybe that happens when the IMG deal kind of gets some steam, that these guys get paid better because...
I don't think the pay scale is going to change. They bought this company for what it was and how it paid fighters and how successful it was. I'm not one of those dudes that's on the UFC doesn't pay enough bandwagon. They pay a lot of money at the top of the card. They pay a decent amount in the middle of the card, and they still pay better at the bottom of the card than you'll see on any boxing
1,000%
card that you
see. But I guess, maybe giving them opportunities, maybe they'll change their mind. Let me say it this way. Maybe they'll change their mind on the extracurricular stuff where they could make some extra money. Not that it's on them to pay them, but if you could take some extra time and didn't have to fight six times to pay your mortgage, would you be better off as a fighter?
Well, I think it's interesting in this regard because he was in line for that title shot, and you mentioned Hendricks, and it's been so much going on in the division since we've seen Tyron Woodley fight. I mean, he's done really well on UFC tonight. He was essentially kind of waiting out that championship shot. I think it was January of last year, right?
Yes.
He beat Gastelum.
Yep.
God, it's been a while to try to remember that. So, he was in line for the shot since then. He waited for his shot. He went in and he went and took the belt. And he did it in spectacular fashion. And it's exactly what we said would eventually happen to Robbie Lawler. And it's not that we were seeing the future by any means.
No.
It's just how it always happens with fighters like Robbie Lawler. They can take those hits until one night they can't anymore. And to be fair, he squared him up. He squared him up right on the jaw. But that's a hit where I feel like we've seen Robbie take that hit 20, 30, 40 times before in his fighting career. That night, he couldn't take that hit. It was done. The fight was over after that punch.
And the thing we said about Tyron is that, you know, he's a fast starter and a heavy, heavy hitter. And those were going to be two things that Robbie had to contend with early on. And letting Tyron Woodley wander around the octagon looking for that perfect shot for 2 minutes.
I was going to say, if you let a guy for 2 minutes basically get your timing down and not really defend. I mean, there wasn't a whole lot going on Robbie Lawler's part.
I mean, what was there, three total punches before that punch, maybe? Three or four?
Yeah, it wasn't a lot. I think it was 212 of the first that officially ended, but we didn't see really any action. It felt like once the action started, boom, bang, it was over. And again, this could be Robbie Lawler. He's a champion at this point. He's done the five-round wars. He knows what that takes. And a guy like Tyron Woodley, I know over and over again he got angrier and angrier and angrier because people kept talking about his gas tank. But at a certain point, if you're Tyron Woodley, you still want to end this thing at the beginning. You're still a guy who wants to go in there, land his punches, implement your game plan. And we knew that would be something that happens early in the fight if things went Tyron's way. And they went his way big time on Saturday night.
And I think from a game plan perspective, you want to stay healthy. And you also, you don't want to go into that fifth round because it doesn't serve you well. Robbie's been so great in those fifth rounds that why would you put yourself in that position if you didn't have to?
Well, as far as the 18 months off, I'm not sure if that's going to happen because he's offered to fight at 202 if he can make some money.
Sure.
So what do you think? Obviously, the first bit of talk right after the fight, and this was literally minutes after the fight because then we just went spiraling into controversial territory as far as rankings versus money. And moments after the fight, you figure, okay, he and Wonder Boy, that's gonna be an interesting fight. That's gonna be an interesting dynamic. 15-20 minutes after the fight, he's on UFC Tonight, Tyron Woodley. And if you don't watch, again, I can't recommend this show enough simply because of their use of fighters on the show. Active fighters. You don't see that in any other sport for the most part. On occasion, the NFL during the playoffs, you'll get a guy who comes in and he can tell you about another team. But that guy's not playing that team that next week because he's not in the playoffs. A guy like Wonder Boy sitting on the panel.
Well, hell, man, sometimes they bring guys who have just fought to be on UFC. I mean, like, to sit, like, we've seen them sit down at the booth and do the rest of the pay-per-view.
Right. So UFC Tonight had Wonder Boy on the panel, and he straight up asked for his matchup. He asked for his matchup, his title shot, and Tyron Woodley straight up said, nope, you guys can all keep fighting each other. It's time to make this money. And for a guy who's been off 18 months, I don't blame him. And for a guy who's now won the championship, I don't blame him. And the fights he wanted were either Nick Diaz, who is just now cleared from all the stuff that he put behind him and the suspension.
Sure.
It was supposed to be 5 years. It got knocked down. He's essentially clear to fight now, Nick Diaz, whose brother did him a ton of good while Nick was out. Because, I mean, that Diaz name has always been linked to, both of those dudes have been linked to each other, Nick and Nate. And what Nate's been able to do while Nick is out has really helped Nick. Nick's going to be able to book whatever fight he wants, essentially.
And that's what he said all week, right?
From what he wants, from what his brother's been able to do, and his reputation, obviously, before that. So you've got what would be a big money fight with Nick Diaz, seeing the other Diaz brother fight for a championship. Or you've got a huge money fight in seeing GSP come back for his belt. And that's a fight GSP has said he may be interested in. So as a fan, I don't know how you're not excited for either of those fights. As a purist, you're going to be really pissed because Wonder Boy's earned it. Wonder Boy should be there. But it's not all about rankings. It's not. And I've seen a lot of this online. Well, just throw the rankings out then. No, the rankings are very useful. They're very useful. And I don't want to throw them out simply because we don't necessarily stick to them all the time. It's great to have them there. And a lot of times, I think the UFC's done worlds better than boxing ever does with rankings and getting that next guy in.
Well, and it gives you some of the feel that you get from college football. Oh, man, the number 12 guy is going against the number 2 guy?
Right.
How did that happen? I wonder what's going to happen in this fight.
Or Ellenberger, who's not even ranked, goes against the number 5 guy in the division and should lose his job, and he wins that fight. So you don't dump the rankings just because you don't use them every single time. They're a guide. They're there for a reason. And are you telling me if we didn't figure something out where we had to put GSP back in the rankings, he's not top 5 out of the guys we're looking at now? He was one of the best of all time. So you don't throw the rankings out simply because...
Well, and I would argue, dude, he never lost the belt, so how would you not put him instantly?
That's what I'm saying. It just seems... And I know Twitter tends to overreact. It just seems like people are overreacting a bit on Twitter. Tyron Woodley, Wonder Boy, great fight. Guess what? At best, this thing should be on Fox Sports if that's what the next fight is.
Well, and if you're...
Maybe Fox TV, but nobody's paying for that fight, Eric. Nobody's paying.
No, they're not. And if you're Woodley, and if you guys get angry about this, I can appreciate that. Feel free to hit me up on the Facebook page. If you're Woodley, I think that fight is terrible for you.
Oh, Wonder Boy?
Terrible.
Oh, yeah. It's for sure.
It's a terrible fight.
And at this point, he's fought once in 18 months, And he probably wants to make some money.
Yeah, and if you look
at Nick Diaz is going to be a much easier fight. I would say that, and people can be mad about that. Nick Diaz would be an easier fight than Wonderboy at this point. GSP, Wonderboy, I think those are both tough fights. And I think what you'd see in this instance is Tyron Woodley, not counting on, that's not the right way to say it, but obviously factoring in the fact that GSP hasn't fought in a while.
Sure.
And you want to talk about ring rust, that's where you'll get your ring rust.
Yeah, and if that's even a thing, right? But Woodley made with the disclosed,
John Jones says it's a thing.
Yeah, of course it does. You know, with the disclosed amount of money that he made $190,000, $140,000 for the win, and then $50,000 for the performance of the night bonus. Robbie made $500,000 to lose in 2 minutes. So, like, as you're saying, there's some real money to be made, especially in light of, as you were saying minutes ago, what Nate has done for the sport with this McGregor fight and this McGregor sequel.
Yeah, which we haven't even gotten to yet.
No, and we never will.
And a smart thing, and that's probably another reason you don't think we're getting there?
No, I don't know. We'll get there.
I didn't know if you knew something else.
No.
And how smart is that move? If you're a champion, yeah, I want to be on that card. With,
of course you do.
You want to be on the Conor McGregor card.
Yeah.
And if you're the champion and one of those two dudes will fight you coming up at UFC 202, yeah, you go do that. You go do that right away if you can, because you want to be on that card. And either of these two fights, if either of them happens, more so with GSP, I think, than Nick Diaz, but still, either of these fights will make it so if he beats either of those dudes, we're going to pay to see Tyrone Woodley. If Tyrone Woodley beats Wonderboy, we're still not necessarily going to pay to see Tyrone Woodley yet. Not yet. I mean, think about how long and how much Robbie Lawler had to do to kind of get respected after he won that belt. Because that belt is kind of jostled around a little bit since GSP left, and we're not really sure. Oh, like, is he the champ? Was that a fluke? I'm not sure. It took all those fights we talked about last week on the show for Robbie Lawler to kind of get the respect and get to the point where, like, okay, he's the champion. We want to pay to see that champion. Tyrone Woodley is not there yet. It's just a fact. And you can like that fact, you can hate that fact, but it's a fact, and this is the world Tyrone Woodley negotiates and lives in. And right now, he wants to negotiate and live at UFC 202. Against Nate Diaz or GSP. Will it happen that quick? I doubt it. I mean, you can't really put that thing together in 2 weeks, especially if it's a GSP fight. But I see his point, and I see the urgency that he's putting into this at this point.
And if you're the UFC, I don't know that you want to, because you saw this past weekend decent numbers for the Fox Sports 2 prelims. Which,
what?
Right.
Okay.
Right, but decent numbers for those prelims, despite the fact that it's available on like 6 TVs in the United States. But my guess would be the pay-per-view didn't really do that great, because Robbie Lawler, for all of the accolades that you just gave him, is not the draw that Conor McGregor is not the draw that Ronda Rousey is not the draw that GSP would be. And so you've got some cards to fill here before the end of the year, and maybe you do want to stack them at that MSG show, and that ends up being the actual, what we would think of as the superfan UFC 200.
Okay, but, I mean, you still got 204, which isn't even booked yet. So you've got to do that too.
This is what I'm saying. You're not going to put him on 202 because that's fine. It doesn't need the help.
Right. And you've got 203 with your heavyweight champion. It's probably fine.
Yeah.
You know, Miocic, obviously a new champ, but still, you know, it's your heavyweight champion of the world. CM Punk's on that card, and as much crap as people want to give him.
Sure he is.
Okay. If he ends up on that card,
call me 15 minutes before that fight's going to start.
He's going to bring eyeballs. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, no, he totally is.
That was my point.
Yeah, I don't believe he's going to make it, but he's totally going to. If he makes it into the octagon without help, he's totally going to bring eyeballs.
What does that mean? Talking about some Brock vitamins or something like that?
Whatever.
He should do all the drugs the week before the fight.
Yes.
Because they can't catch you.
Right.
Some people, too, wondering, by the way, just speaking of that briefly, wondering why they don't hurry these tests up. I saw that online. And I meant to get to it last week briefly. The anonymity is key in this whole testing process, so there's no favoritism shown. So that you don't look at something and go, oh, here's Brock Lesnar's test. If he's positive, that's going to blow up the card. So that's why a lot of these tests and these results come out night of, day after, weeks after the fight actually took place. So
yeah, the industry average is 6 weeks from the time that they take the test.
Mm-hmm.
So you may not ever get to the point, like you said, for the anonymity that it's going to be.
And I don't think you should.
They test them the night of, and they're popped on Sunday morning. I don't think that's going to be a thing.
So there you go. So just be aware of of that.
Well, all right then. The other big fight on that card is obviously Jake Ellenberger gets to stay gainfully employed.
Who thought that would be a big fight?
Well, not only a big fight, but the backstory is incredible. They tried to fire him in January.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he lost five of his last six.
They did fire him.
The UFC said, "We're done with you, man." And he goes to Dana and says, "Man, just give me one more shot. I promise I will deliver." And he did just that to Matt Brown, starched him in just a fantastic.
What was that? 14, 24 seconds, something like that?
Something like that.
I forget the official time.
You know, a great fight for Jake Ellenberger.
Oh, it wasn't that quick. I'm sorry. What was it?
Hit him in the first, he floored him in the first 10 seconds, but he couldn't finish it then.
Oh, okay.
So what is it, 2 minutes, I think? 2:42?
Yeah, 1:46.
There you go.
So Dana White had basically said, "Hey, we're going to let you go."
And, well, they had given him the notice.
And Ellenberger went to Vegas and said, "Hey, I need a couple minutes. So if you ever get fired, go to try to talk to your boss."
Yeah.
That never works.
Try doing that.
So, yeah, he beat Matt Brown. Oh, poor Matt Brown. He was, like, floating around that title shot for the longest time and kept getting pushed down and down. I mean, where does he land at this point?
I don't know. I mean, because that top, and we've talked about this a lot, you know, the top of that division is so stacked. And when somebody like this that is unranked jumps in there and, like, swirls up the flotsam and jetsam, it only makes it worse. You've got Condit fighting Damian Maia, which... Damian Maia is not to be trifled with. He's a bad matchup for most people.
No, and he's been that guy that it seems like a lot of dudes have been kind of avoiding in the past
because
2 or 3 years.
Bad matchup for you. He's a bad matchup for everybody. Yeah, you can beat him. That obviously guys have beaten him, but he's not a guy that you can go in that division and go, "Oh yeah, let's do this one next because I think I can get past this guy." So Condit, as he said on the MMA Hour this week, that he was vying for title shots, and then he thought, "Well, if I beat Damian Maia, that clearly puts me up there next to Wonder Boy, and I'm in line for a title shot, and I can just wait that out. I've got the thirst. I want to fight. This is a great fight for me because it's a terrible matchup. Just ask Johnny Hendricks." And so we'll see that next. So what happens with Matt Brown? I have no idea, because now Ellenberger's in the mix, rightly or wrongly so, by that single victory.
Well, no, I mean, it's fighting's fighting. So, yeah, I mean, rightly so, he's in that mix. So, Matt Brown's still in the top 10, so nobody went crazy, because, again, a fight's a fight. I'm sorry, these are not updated. You and your friends have not updated these yet.
That will be what's today.
Is this the new era of WME IMG UFC where we can't get rankings until Wednesday?
They should be updated on Tuesday.
That's actually what I thought, because usually I go grab these. But Robbie Lawler is not your welterweight champion, so these rankings are dated, UFC.
How dare you, UFC?
Where's that intern that has to listen to the show? Do you think they kept that guy around?
Yeah, I think he got let go.
So because they have people monitoring. So.
Yes.
I don't know if they're still doing that, but if they are, you need to fix this. So, yeah. Are you still voting on that?
No.
No? Why not?
Because they have the number of events that you can't miss, and it was one of the weeks they did seven in a row, and I missed one.
Oh, wow. So, this is a very small panel now.
Yeah, it's a very small panel. And then when you apologize and ask to get back on, they ignore you. So
I'm just counting right now. There's 19 people on this panel.
Yep.
And I've not heard...
of half of them, if not more.
More than that at this point. I'm not trying to be disrespectful, so I'm not going to call anybody out.
Yeah, no. I mean, but it is...
I love pro wrestling, but why is somebody from the Wrestling Observer on this thing?
Yeah.
And nobody from MMAfighting.com? What is going on there?
Yeah, I don't know the answer to that.
What is Vladusport.com? Okay, now, you know, look, okay, the rankings are BS, crowd. I'm not really with you, but I can see you might have a little bit of a point here at this point.
So, yeah, so...
what is Gazeta Esportiva?
I don't know.
Gazeta Esportiva. Okay, I'm going to look that up.
They're supposed to be updated, but you have to get them in Monday afternoon, and they're updated the next day. So they should have been updated from yesterday.
No, they are not. So this is the new era of IMGW.
Terrific.
MEUFC.
All right.
Maybe Lorenzo published them every day, and we didn't realize it. You know what? Sometimes people leave jobs and you don't realize all the stuff they did.
Yes.
And maybe Lorenzo, like every day, like he had a little reminder set in his Google Calendar, like 3:15, publish updated rankings, and he would just go in and click the button. Nobody's doing that now.
Right. So the other big news this week, before we talk about some of the fights that were out this week, were the new rules that were proposed yesterday.
Oh, hold on. What fight do you want for Tyrone before we wrap all that up?
Diaz.
You want Diaz?
Yes.
I want GSP. I'll take Diaz.
Look, I love the idea of the fight. I just think I don't want to see George back in there. Because I don't think Tyrone Woodley hits any lighter than Johnny Hendricks. So I just don't. I want Diaz.
Oh, no, I don't. But I just want to see GSP come back.
I want Diaz. So.
All right.
Okay, so... The Association of Boxing Commission on Tuesday made some huge changes to MMA rules. And this is where it gets wonky, though, because they're not the Nevada Athletic Commission. So you've got these things floating around.
But aren't the ABC rules the ones that have been that gave birth, essentially, to the unified rules that we have?
Yes, but my understanding by reading this is that just because they do it doesn't mean it's automatically put in place.
Of course.
There's a little delay in this. But these are rules, Ken, that I think you're very excited about. The only one that you're not, well, you probably don't care about this one, but the only one that the UFC might not be excited about is the ruling about the women's tank tops in women MMA would essentially make the Reebok tank tops illegal under the new rules.
What is the ruling on that?
I will read it to you. Hang on.
Okay, so there's tank tops.
Female competitors must wear short-sleeved, above-the-elbow, or sleeveless form-fitting rash guards and or sports bra. No loose-fitting tops allowed. We'll follow the same requirements for the bottoms covering as much as the male competitors, minus the requirement for groin protection, which apparently...
So the Reebok gear doesn't fit within that?
The Reebok gear doesn't fit within that.
Okay, let's move on to the other fun stuff here.
So... a couple really, really big ones. Extended fingers. We're now getting to the point where you can be called upon a foul by just splaying your fingers. You don't actually have to gouge somebody's eyes out yet.
So if I hit you and I hit you in the forehead with a finger and the referee decides, hey, your fingers are out. He can take a point if he wants to or give you a warning.
You don't even have to touch me. Here's the verbiage. In the standing position, a fighter that moves their arm/arms towards an opponent with an open hand, fingers pointing out at the opponent's face/eyes, will be a foul. I don't even have to touch you. So John Jones would be down 9 points in the first minute of a fight.
If they want to call it, yeah.
Okay, so that's one. Grounded fighter. This one, I'm super excited about this one because no longer can you play the dumb my pinkies on the mat game. So a grounded fighter is defined as this. Any part of the body other than a single hand and feet touching the fighting area floor. To be grounded, both hands and feet, palm/fist down, or any other body part must be touching the fighting area floor.
Okay, here's my question on that, and maybe you can explain this. If you have two knees down, you're down, though, still, right? Because I don't want to see somebody who's on their knees getting cracked in the head with a knee.
It doesn't distinguish between that, but I would say... that would still be 4 points of contact, your knees and your feet.
So the knees and the feet. Okay, that's okay. If the knees count as a point.
I would assume that's 4 points
of
contact.
Okay, but if you have a guy that's on his knee that's taking a knee, that's the sense he got knocked down, but he's taking a knee, do you still want to see that dude get cracked in the head with a knee?
Do I want to? No, but I mean, this is a direct response to the guys that do the pinky game. Right?
Okay.
Like, three points down.
So I guess I'll have to read that more specifically because that seems like that could be something I'm not necessarily on board with. As much as... And I've been the guy, and I've only advocated for it simply because if it's the rules, it's the rules. I don't like referees in the back who go, hey, I'm going to call you for this, I'm going to call you for that, which we've heard a lot of. And when Sean Desai was on the show, he would explain, hey, the refs are in the back. They'll tell you this or that, which for me as a fan is frustrating because I don't know what the hell the ref said in the back. So if a guy's got his hand down, his hand's down. Well, that's the rule.
And here's where it gets interesting, as I was saying earlier. New Jersey did not approve of the grounded fighter rule and or the kidney blow rule. That was the other one. So they disbanded the rule that says you can heel strike to the kidney. That was prior to yesterday was a foul. That is no longer a foul. In New Jersey, that is a foul. In New Jersey, the same rules that we've been abiding by for a grounded fighter apply because they did not accept those two rules from ABC yesterday.
So both hands and feet, palm fist down, and or any other body part. See, I'm trying to figure out, like, if your ass is on the floor, you're down, but you could have nothing else on the floor at that point, depending on how you got hit. Your feet could be up in the air. You're not down. You're not grounded.
Yeah.
You are grounded.
Well, no, I mean, I don't know.
That's what I'm saying. To be grounded, both hands and feet, palm, fist down, and or any other body part must be touching. Is the and or one of those 4 points or the hands and feet? Because you could still play the game. You just put both hands down. You just do that little spider walk.
But I think what they're
what
the rule's trying to get rid of is the dudes that were doing two fingers to try and get to better position. I mean, if you're putting both hands on the floor, I think you're, in essence, exposing yourself in a way that makes you vulnerable, and you shouldn't get kicked in the head.
Okay, so if my reading says maybe any other body part means you're down, so if I land and my elbow's on the ground, I mean, you're down then. Because, again, there's a lot of instances where you can see a fighter where they don't have hands and feet touching,
where they're clearly down. They're clearly down.
Right.
Okay, so the extended fingers are one.
I was excited about the extended fingers.
The female clothing is interesting, especially considering some of the problems some of the women have had with Reebok gear.
Right.
Because, I mean, some of the women, I forget the young lady's name. She was the one that, she was afraid. She thought, a lot of people thought she got hurt in the fight. God, I can't remember her name. And she said she thought her top came down because she wasn't wearing what she usually wears. And the Reebok gear, they wouldn't let her wear that over her other gear because it was sticking out. So I like that. The biggest change could be, you know, at the end of three rounds, at the end of five rounds with these rule changes, where damage is changing essentially in the scoring definitions. Am I correct?
Yes.
So the recommendation by the ABC would now change that damage a little bit. So they're changing it to impact, and there's different scoring language that essentially, when you boil it all down, could lead to some more 10-8 rounds, which I've said are more necessary because you have fights where rounds are 10-9, 10-9, 9-10, where maybe one fighter in the middle clearly dominated, but the judges just don't want to hand out that 10-8 round. So you've got a situation where these rules are now making it clearer, like, hey, if there's damage, if there's effective striking, if there's effective grappling, if you've got a lot of control, they're looking at dominance, duration, and impact now. If a round has two of those characteristics, you can now consider a 10-8. So when you actually tell the judges, hey, is there dominance in this round? Did they do it for a long time? Was there a lot of damage? Well, I think those three factors are really good factors to look at if you're trying to get a 10-8 round. He dominated that round, and he did it for a long time. Boom, 10-8. Okay, so what did he do in the next round? He dominated, but not as long. There's your 10-9. There we go. We've taken care of maybe some of these closer fights where clearly somebody did something in rounds 2 and 3, but maybe the other fighter won 4 and 5, especially in these championship fights, but not by as much as the other fighter did in the first couple rounds. You would think at this point, guy goes back to his corner, well, he really dominated you and he caused a lot of damage. That could be 10-8, man. So we should hear a lot less of coaches saying that was your round or you lost that round. You're going to hear coaches saying, hey, you might have really lost that round. You got to knock him out this next round.
And what I love, the other language I like in here is that merely holding a dominant position shall not be a primary factor in assessing dominance. So no longer can you just hold a dude down.
Would be more of duration.
Yeah.
So you could still hold a dude down and consider that, but that's not necessarily dominance. The rules,
which is great, because if there's one thing that we've experienced in our MMA illustrious career doing this podcast, is the amount of judges that understand the nuance of fighting.
No, I think there's I guess when it comes to judges, you can never think something's clear enough. But I mean, these are the three characteristics, really: dominance, duration, and impact. Impact, and I like that they use impact rather than damage, because sometimes you don't see damage until after the fight.
Right.
So if a guy's popping you good, you know, and you're just not a guy that blows up in the cage. I mean, how many times have we seen winners in those post fights? I mean, those are some of the most viral pics we put up sometimes on the Facebook page and Twitter. Is, hey, look at Mark Hunt after that fight. What happened there? Holy cow! We didn't look like that in the cage. And you know, you never know what that is. So impact rather than damage, because you know, you say damage to somebody, what do you think? Oh, does he have a black eye?
Well, is he bleeding?
Like almost every boxer has a black eye after their fight. Right. They never have a black eye in the ring.
So what, you know, but if states like New Jersey and Missouri, and then there's a couple other on the list that aren't accepting all of these, what does that do to this whole idea of unified rules, and how do fighters keep up on that if every place they fight has different rules?
I don't think they're going to have different rules. I think you're still going to have unified rules.
But I mean, if scoring, how is a judge going to keep up on scoring if New Jersey says, nah, we don't agree with that definition? So if you're Judge Weeks and you're in Vegas, the scoring is different there than it would be in New Jersey. How is he going to keep up with those nuances?
I don't know if we're going to have to. And again, we're going to have to look more at the Rules and Regulations Committee and the medical committees and all of those things the ABC has. My understanding is that the unified rules will be the unified rules at a certain point. I don't know if this is something where we look at this. Because, like you said, New Jersey did not approve of the new definition of grounded fighter. Does that mean nobody approves of that definition?
Well, what I'm saying is the ABC has no jurisdiction over state regulation. So they can make all the recommendations and vote on them that they want, but states don't have to take them. So I wonder what this does to the growth of the sport if this is the direction in which it goes.
Well, we'll see.
I mean, does the UFC just ignore New Jersey then?
No, I don't think they ignore New Jersey. I think what you end up doing is your unified rules become whatever the most restrict set of rules are.
They become a cell phone plan, Unified Plus.
No,
Unified Premium.
I think, oh, Jersey won't allow this, so we don't allow it. Because you know what? That would essentially change how fighters fight. And I don't think you can. I don't think it's fair to have a fighter fight in New Jersey and have to do some of these rules. And not that there's any kidney striking specialists out there, but let's say a guy's really good at that. Let's okay. say, you know, I mean, well,
Boss Rutan,
well
right?
there's been a well that and there's been a lot of talk about John Jones going after people's knees. And that's a legal thing. Well, what if New Jersey says, well, that's illegal? Well, we're going to make John fight there. Well, hey, it's legal everywhere else, but I can't do it here. That's not fair to a fighter
yeah.
to change the fight that much. If you want to talk about some scoring and some other things, I still think it's very iffy. Maybe you could have a discussion with me on it. I'm not probably going to agree with you at the end of it still. I think what you have to do is you have to look at this and go, okay, here's our baby steps. Our baby steps here is we're going to get scoring. We're going to get these extended fingers. We're getting this, 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 and this. We take the most restrictive set, which is going to be New Jersey. And, you know, they've been in bed with New Jersey a long time. This is something that they're going to have to deal with. And for a long time, it worked very well. You can say it's not working here. I don't necessarily disagree with New Jersey saying, hey, these grounding rules, maybe we still need to look at these better. If you don't want people to play the game, fine. I can say, you know, I fix that with one sentence. You know, if a fighter intentionally grounds himself to avoid strikes, well, if a guy's put, that'll get rid of the game. You can have other arguments later in the fight, but at least it gets rid of the game that pisses you off, right?
Right.
The blatant game of putting your hand down to avoid strikes. We just got rid of that. If you intentionally ground yourself to avoid a strike, you're not considered grounded. Cool. There'll be arguments later. I'm sure we'll have some fight happen where right. like, oh, did he intentionally blah, blah, blah? Did he get hit? We don't know. But that gets rid of your game, right? So I think that would have been a better set of rules because I'm looking at this rule. And, you know, I'm not the smartest guy in the world, but I can usually figure these things out. And I've read that rule 3 times during this segment. I still don't quite know what it means. So I'm not necessarily disagreeing with New Jersey there. Kidney strikes, they sound bad. I'm sure somebody there freaked out about that. It's the same thing whenever you hear about somebody going after somebody's knees or something. If it's already illegal, it's a lot harder to make that legal. So I understand what they did there. So
yeah, but I think one of the reasons that they changed it, and you saw it this past weekend, that's how Ellenberger won the fight, was he shut off Matt Brown's kidneys, right? Like kicked him in the kidney.
Yeah, but this is only heels to the kidney, right?
But what I'm saying is that's the part of the body that will tell you when the fight is over, much like your head. Your knee will not tell you that the fight is over.
Well, I think your knee can tell you when the fight's over.
Well, I mean, but you've seen guys fight on bad knees, or you've seen guys where their knees buckle or whatever, but the kidney, you can't, that was one of the reasons that Boss was so good at that, because he knew that there was no, you didn't fight that, you don't power through that, it's over, mm-hmm. lights out, fight over.
Mm-hmm. So there you go, ABC does not have power over the state governments, so this will be a negotiation between the UFC, the ABC, the Unified Rules, and all their committees and sanctioning bodies at this point. I think what would likely end up happening is we take the most restrictive rule set, and that will be the new unified rules if we're going to actually make these changes.
So there you have it.
Okay.
All right. And
anything
then,
else?
Well, we've got, first of all, November 5, it looks like we get our boy, Tony Ferguson, fighting Rafael Dos Anjos as the main event of the Ultimate Fighter Latin America 3. And then this weekend...
Did you just make that up?
No, that I didn't.
That sounds like that sounds like when you make up a superhero when you're a kid and you just keep adding words.
It's a real thing.
Like, he's a super powerful Destructo Mongo Man.
.com.
So wait, what... I feel bad because I know you probably scrolled by it. Tell me the name of that event one more time.
Ultimate Fighter Latin America 3. So the third season of the Ultimate Fighter in Latin America will have...
So the Ultimate Fighter Finale Latin America 3, Rafael Dos Anjos versus Tony Ferguson.
Colon, Rafael Dos Anjos versus Tony
okay,
Ferguson.
That's an amazing name.
It really is. All right, and then this weekend, Fox Sports 1, UFC back in
action.
Is
that in Brazil?
That will be in Brazil somewhere.
Do they have to swim through poop?
Okay, I don't know the answer to that question.
Congratulations, UFC fighters. You don't have to swim through poop
yes.
when you compete in Brazil.
This weekend, they go to a former Olympic site in Salt Lake City, where it's Yair Rodriguez taking on Alex Caceres. That will be your main event. You get Dennis Bermudez and Hani Jason, Talis Latis and Chris Camozzi, and then a bunch of other fighters that most people I don't think are interested in. But if you're looking for some action this weekend, the Rodriguez-Caceres fight, I think, is going to be a lot of fun. I don't know that I would be super fired up about the rest of it. And I would honestly say that we're at this point, and I don't know how you felt this weekend, Ken, but you're at this point where we need to pump the brakes.
I'm going to be honest. You know, last weekend, I didn't have a chance to watch the actual pay-per-view. I'm a little bummed out, but it's a lot. I don't have any plans on watching this weekend. If something notable happens, I'll watch. Obviously, I'll try to dig it up later and rewatch, but I'm not sure.
But I think, you know, and you've seen some of these people in the MMA journalism community talk about this, like 53 or 54 events a year, so you have more events than there are weeks in the year, might be a little bit too much.
Hmm. Maybe if Ini Kamosi was there. No?
Here comes the hot step up.
There you go. Here it comes. There you go.
Have a great weekend, guys. If you need anything, find us on Twitter or Facebook at Wow Show. It is Way of the Warrior, your MMA show.